your Bible with me this morning. How many of you, when you are not here in church, are online on Sunday morning? You actually catch it Sunday morning, the service? How many of you? Yep. How many of you catch it later in the week? You miss it Sunday, but you catch it later? Yep. How many of you watch it more than once? How many of you do that? Yeah, there's some of you. It's kind of interesting. And bless you for doing that. Those of you who go and catch the message and the worship more than once, that is awesome. Would you grab your Bible? Let's hold it in the air, your iPad, your laptop, your whatever you got, and let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Book of Acts, chapter 1. Want to read again at the beginning of the chapter, verses 1 to 8. Some of you may have this memorized by the time we are finished the series, beginning at verse 1 in my former book, Theophilus. By the way, who wrote the book of Acts? Anybody know? Holy Spirit through Luke. Thank you, Gord. Yeah. Wow, corrected right there. I feel it right here on my chin. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And so when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power." Say power. "You will receive power when Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you that your plan included Jesus leaving. When he said it is to our benefit that he goes, God, we are experiencing the benefit of that. As Holy Spirit came, poured out upon all flesh. And today we are here because we are filled with you, Holy Spirit. Before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. I ask, Holy Spirit, you would take literal possession of my mind and my mouth, that I would only say those things that I hear you say. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch the seed that is going to be sown, and I command you to release and be outside the wall of this building in Jesus' name. And Father, I want to say thank you again that you are speaking as powerfully today as you did on the day of creation. I ask that you would open up the hearts and the ears of every one of your sheep. They would have ears to hear what you are saying, not coming out of my mouth, directly rhema from you. Let them capture it and let them be obedient to it. I thank you again for the promise that your word does not return void. And Father, I thank you that you have prepared people's hearts and minds. I thank you there will be understanding today and lives will be changed. And we give you all the glory in advance in the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Well, the last number of weeks, as after the celebration of Pentecost, the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to the disciples, the coming of the Holy Spirit, we have been looking and studying at Jesus' one statement in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." A few weeks ago, we talked about and settled the issue that when Jesus talked, he did not lie, has never lied, and does not lie. And so when he said, "You will receive power," we believe that to be true. And when we as believers made a decision to place our faith in Christ, to receive him as Lord and Savior, and be filled with his Spirit, we received power. Can I ask you a question? When Jesus said, "I'm going to leave and my Spirit comes upon you, and you will do the same things that I do and even greater," have any of you ever struggled with that statement? Any, just raise your hand. I think we all have. As I said to you before, I get stuck on the first part and go, "God, if I could even do what you did, that would be cranking amazing. But to do even more, you got to stretch me, God." And so I'll tell you, honestly, for me, as I'm going through this, I'm asking God to stretch me. I'm asking God to stretch you. If I'm going to be alive on this earth journey, I want to step into the greater things. And I want you to join me. A couple weeks ago, we looked at some of the examples of people in our day, not years and years ago, but in our day, who believed this and walked in power. We looked at some of that. If you missed it, I encourage you to go back. Last week, we looked at some biblical Old Testament examples of what happened when the Holy Spirit came upon people and empowered them to do things they could not do on their own. I got to tell you one statement God gave me years ago. He said, "Colin, everything I'm going to ask you to do will be impossible for you." I went, "Oh, joy." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "When I ask you to do something, your flesh will not have the power to do it. You will need my power to do it." I said, "Oh, joy." The whole purpose of last week, I want to tell you straight up, was to build our faith. That's what the Lord said, "Colin, I want you to go into Scripture. I want you to show examples because I want to build faith." And I trust that those of you who are desiring to grow in your spiritual walk, I trust you took the time. I trust you went back in, you looked at the Scriptures, you looked at the people, you studied what we talked about, and let the Spirit of God and the Word of God build faith in you like nothing else can. I know some of you did that. Today, the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart to begin talking about when Holy Spirit comes upon a person and fills us with himself, what it is he gives us the power to do. I want to begin, though, by giving you four pictures. And that's all I'm going to do today is four pictures. I'm going to encourage you to write them down. I'm going to give something to you visual with almost every one of them. There'll be one that's kind of virtual, but I'm going to encourage you to write it down. The first is this. Would you write down the word paraclete? Paraclete. Anybody need me to spell it? Can I just say, I have 24 years of school behind me, and my wife is a better speller than me. Can you explain that to me? They say that people who are readers spell well. I'm an example of not. Okay? Just so you know. Paraclete. What does it mean? The helper who comes alongside. I got to just tell you, yesterday at men's group, we took the time and we shared with one another the impact that some of our camp experiences had on our life. And one brother shared about a speaker at a camp using the picture of Holy Spirit as a person. And what he did is he brought a person up, just correct me if I'm wrong, he brought a person up right beside him, put his arm around that person, and began to explain that this is like Holy Spirit. Everywhere you go, Holy Spirit goes with you. Now, the image fell short because Holy Spirit isn't beside us. He's where? On the inside of us. But here's the reality. Can I ask you just a really quick? Do you ever forget about what you can't see? Do you ever forget? Have you ever thought that it might be easier to recognize you have Holy Spirit, all his power, if in the morning when you wake up, he's laying right beside you going, morning, and he's got good breath? And this is no time to share about your spouse, okay? This is no time. You wake up, he's right here. You get up, he's right there. You go to work, he's right there. You go to your family, he's right there. You go to your prayer closet, he's right there. You go to minister, he's right. How much easier would it be if he was right there in the flesh all the time? When you can't see him physically, the enemy helps us forget that we are not alone. And if we were to get a revelation of this burned into our heart and mind, I am not alone, I am never alone, the same paraclete, the same helper, the same Holy Spirit who put his arm around Jesus and said, everywhere you go, I'll do it with you, is with us, I wonder how many of our lives would be lived differently. I got to tell you, as my brother was sharing this yesterday, inside of me, the Spirit of God was just going off again. Part of what went off inside of me is, can you imagine having your own Samson with you everywhere you go? Let's bring it a little more modern. How many of you know who Dwayne The Rock Johnson is? Just raise your hand. Oh, I'm not talking about his. I'm talking about his. Ooh, that's what I'm talking about. Can you imagine having him in the Spirit with you everywhere you go? How many of you know who he is, by the way? How many of you have no clue who I'm talking about? How many of you really don't care? Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. I just got to tell you, yesterday, it was Gord. As Gord was sharing about this picture, he said he never forgot this over the years of his life. He said it was a powerful reminder that he is not alone. Holy Spirit is with him. Can I just say this? For some of you, that is the only picture you're going to need this morning. That was good enough. You could pack up and go home. But I want to give you a few more. I am sure that you have seen this. When I saw this a number of years ago, a light bulb went off inside of me. I have no idea. I can't remember who shared the image, but I have never forgotten the image. There was a speaker who came up, and he was talking about Holy Spirit, and all he did is he brought a glove up to where he was at, and he laid the glove on the table, and he began to describe the glove. He said, this glove is representation of every one of our lives in the flesh. This is the glove. This is the tent. He said, what happens when Holy Spirit comes upon you? Holy Spirit comes, he takes your glove, and he puts his hand in the glove, and now he is able to do with and through you what you could never do in your own. He looked at the glove and he said, glove, jump. He said, glove, dance. He said, glove, worship. He said, glove, go help somebody. The glove just sat there. Then he said, when Holy Spirit comes and he enters in, he said, Holy Spirit, fullness of the power of God enters the glove, and all of a sudden you watch this glove do what every glove laying on the table in its own flesh strength will never, can never do. As a young believer, I want to tell you, when that image hit me, something went off inside of me. Do you know how it is sometimes when the Holy Spirit is speaking? All of a sudden, other scripture comes up and it becomes alive. I remember hearing the Holy Spirit say to me, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. I looked at the glove and that verse came alive. Apart from me, what can you do? Nothing. But with me, I want you to think about this for a moment. If the enemy had his way, the majority of the body of Christ would be a glove on the table with no spiritual hand in it. Let me be straight about something. In the flesh, we can do a lot of things. There are a lot of people outside the church in the flesh that are doing a lot of things. Some are good, some are not so good. There are people in the church who are doing things in the flesh that appear very good. Let's be really honest. In the flesh, you can do a pile of things. But let me ask you, in the flesh, can you do anything spiritually in the kingdom of God? Apart from me, you can do nothing. I want to tell you, I don't often agree with the enemy. You've heard me say this before. But over the years, and there's a pile of examples come to mind. I remember when Reg and I were planning to go to Africa, and I was praying about it, and there was, I think it was like 25 messages that I was told that I was going to have to preach in a period of 3 weeks. They said sometimes there's going to be 3 services in a day. Sometimes the service is going to pop up. You won't even have time to prepare. And I remember going to the Lord. There was fear that hit me. It's like, holy smoke, I'm a preparer. I like to have things down. And I remember the Lord said to me, Carl, when you get there, I want you to trust me. I will give what you need in the moment. It won't be you. It will be me in you. And I will never forget when Reg and I went to one home. We were sitting in there. We just went there for a meal. We were going to be visiting. It was like show and tell. We were the white boys. They were taking us all over the place. All of a sudden, the bishop comes in and goes, call. They're calling people together. In 5 minutes, we're going to have a service, and you're going to preach. I heard the Holy Spirit go, told you so. So what did I do? Aren't you glad Holy Spirit tells you things ahead of time? He told me ahead of time. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm the glove. Time for you to fill me. And in 3 minutes, the Holy Spirit downloaded to me, and I stood up and I preached for about an hour in that place. Through me, Holy Spirit, I experienced His hand in my glove. Do you know what that does to your faith? I want to encourage you as a pastor, I want to encourage you to come in line and agree with the enemy when he says to you, you can't do it. I have had God come and ask me to do things, and the first fiery dart that comes and goes, Carl, you can't do that. And my flesh goes, yeah, I can't do that. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit shows up and goes, agree with them. Tell the enemy, you're right. I can't do it. But Spirit in my glove, that ticks him off. I got to tell you honestly, too. Do you know that we are in a day, and it's going to be more and more as we see time coming? We're in a day where people's flesh glove is actually up and doing things destructively because there's a different spirit in them. You know what I'm saying? There are people who are filled with demonic entities that are functioning through their gloves. We see some of them on the media. We're hearing some of them who are at the top end of this agenda. Can I tell you, the greater power wins. When Holy Spirit comes on us, He picks up the glove, He places His hand in it. You will receive power to do what the flesh could never do. It is no longer I who live, but what? Christ who lives in me. Holy Spirit who lives in me. When Samson did his thing, Holy Spirit in the glove. When Elijah did his thing, Holy Spirit in the glove. When Jesus did his thing, Holy Spirit in the glove. When the disciples did, Holy Spirit in the glove. When you and I are called to do our thing, Holy Spirit in the glove. Only two things. I have to believe it, and I have to let Him. We'll talk about that next week. Let me give you one other one. Let me give you a picture God gave me a number of years ago. Would you turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35? Mark 1, verse 35. If you have your Bible, I actually want you to go there. I want you to see this with your eyes. Because Scripture has a way of convicting and stirring and speaking and changing in a way that a human voice will never do. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark. What time of day was it, by the way? Very early. Not just early, very early. Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he what? Where he prayed. Find quiet time with the Lord in the midst of all that goes on in the battle. And can I just say, is carving out time with the Lord a spiritual battle? You know how much so it is? It's so much of a battle that most of the church doesn't do it. In fact, it's so much of a battle that the majority of pastors don't do it. Hours on the computer, hours on the TV, hours doing hobby, hours, but I have no time for quiet time with the Lord. It is a spiritual battle. Every power of hell wants to make sure you don't do it. The unfortunate thing is, the enemy is usually more victorious. But the image of Jesus getting up, going by himself, spending time with the Father, basically recharging his batteries every day before he began to pour out all day long, I want to tell you, when I read that, it became an example to me. And so that became a pattern of my life. But the Lord added something else to it, and I want to show you this. One day, the Lord gave me a picture. Don't think this is weird. And if you do, I don't want to hear from you. But the Lord gave me a picture. And basically what he said is, Call, you may have heard me say, he says, Call, inside your back, you have an extension cord. And it is all coiled up and it all tucks in behind you. It's the cord that is attached to you like this. You can't see it spiritually. He said, but Call, he says, when you get up in the morning, he said, I want you to reach back. I want you to unplug the cord and I want you to go and I want you to plug it into the wall. So here I am having my quiet time and my cord is hanging out the back of me and it's plugged into the socket. And he said this, he says, Call, he says, as long as it isn't plugged in your quiet time, he says, power is flowing into you. He says, my power is flowing into you. He said, if you spend 5 minutes with me and then you go and unplug it and ravel it back in, you're walking out of there with 5 minutes of power. After that power is done, you're walking in flesh power, but you got 5 minutes of spiritual power. He said, if you spend an hour and it's plugged, power is flowing into you for 1 hour, you unplug it, put it in, and you go in 1 hour of spiritual power. Can I ask you just a really dumb question? When you read about the men and women of God all down through time and in our day who God is working through powerfully, do you know any of them who don't have a devotional life? Smith Wigglesworth made a statement that transformed me. He says, I seldom spend 15 minutes in the Word and in prayer. He goes, but I seldom go more than 15 minutes without being in the Word and in prayer. He said, I can't function without it. He said, I need to recharge a battery, and then I go and pour. I need to recharge, and I go and pour. I need to recharge, and I go and pour. How do we think we can go walk in spiritual power when we're not plugged in? I want to tell you, for years of my spiritual walk, I would get up in the morning, and I would go through the spiritual motion of pulling out the cord and plugging it in to the charger with God. And I would let the power flow. Just let it flow. I gotta show you this, just the image. We know this, it's physical. Imagine a cordless drill. People use this every day. I use it often of the acreage. You pick it up, you slap the battery inside of it, and the battery's dead. Can I ask you, how effective would this thing be? Okay, this is such a dumb question, isn't it? This thing is basically useless until you take the battery, you plug it in, you charge it up, you let that green light flash, 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 and still it's solid green. You pull it out, and once the battery is charged, you stick it in. Now you can do things it would never otherwise do. You see, we do this physically. What's the issue spiritually? I'll tell you, it's warfare. I don't remember who did it. I heard a story one time about a nationality of people who heard about these chainsaws, they were loggers. They heard about chainsaws. They did all this by hand. They heard that if you get chainsaws, it will increase your productivity. They went out. They bought a bunch of chainsaws. Day after day, they were using the chainsaws. They were cutting trees. They found it didn't increase. In fact, they found that it slowed up their time. And all of a sudden, one guy comes walking along. He sees these guys doing what they're doing, and he comes over. He says, "Would you mind if I use the chainsaw?" They said, "Sure, no problem. Doesn't seem to be working well for us." They took the chain. The guy took the chainsaw. Oh! All the men jumped back. They went, "What's that sound?" They had been using the chainsaw with no power. That's most of the church, guys. Can I tell you, and we've said it before, power makes noise. Power to do things that we could never do on our own. What a picture of the church. No noise. Looks good. I'll tell you what I've told you before. We have come to a place we don't need. We don't even expect the power of God in our life. We don't expect it. We can live out every day in the flesh. Do what we need to in the flesh. We can get up in the morning, go through the flesh all day long. We can do that. We look back. Never pull the cord out. Never plug it in. Never start the thing. And there are people in the church who have done that their entire life and still are today. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. How many of you know it off by heart? Just raise your hand. How many of you know it by heart? Yeah, a pile of you. Look it up if you don't. What does it say? We have not been given a spirit of what? We have not been given a spirit of fear. We have been given a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. It says this. We have been given, past tense, we have been given a spirit of power. We have him. He is in us, fully charged, ready to go, waiting to do through us what he did through Jesus. Can you imagine for a moment, just imagine for a moment, me believing that and doing it? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine for a moment you filled with that power and doing what Jesus did? Can you imagine if 12 people in Camrose actually got this? Could you imagine? 12 people. Do you think our city would be different? Do you think our province would be different? When Jesus left the earth, he prepared 12 people who could not only imagine it, he found 12 people who actually believed it. And because they did, they waited till Holy Spirit came, filled them with power. They stepped out of the upper room, and with a power that was not their own, began to change the world. I need to leave you one more. I've shared this with you before. Those of you who have been a part of Ancient Paths Ministry, you will know this. I don't believe there has been any picture that I have ever received that has affected my life as deeply as this one. Craig Hill, in his ministry, he didn't talk about this in the church when he came to visit us the one Sunday. How many of you were actually there at the CRE when Craig Hill was there? Yeah, there was a couple of you. He was at a conference in Leduc, and God opened up a door. He wasn't busy on Sunday. We changed his flight. He came and spoke at the church. He flew off that afternoon. Great opportunity to be with him. Craig Hill talked about we being three persons. We all know this. Flesh, soul, and spirit. Soul is what? Mind, will, and emotion. I will never forget in Sherwood Park when he went through this whole picture, first of all. I sat there and the Spirit of God was just going off inside of me. And he made a statement. He said, "Our flesh has a door. Our spirit has a door." He goes, "These two doors cannot be opened at the same time." He said, either the door of the flesh will be open and the flesh will determine what happens with the soul and the spirit door is closed, or the flesh door will be closed, the spirit door is open, the spirit will determine what happens in the soul and the flesh has to be obedient. I have never forgotten that. I came home that night. I had written it down. I took that into my prayer time. I began meditating on that, and all of a sudden it became a part. I'm going to share something with you that's a little bit personal, but that's okay. How many of you take cold showers? Just raise your hand. Three of you. Four, five of you. Years ago, I won't get into that, but I want to tell you, every day, including this morning, at the end of my shower, I turn the water on absolute cold. And in the shower, out loud, this is what I say in the shower. I turn it on cold and I say, flesh, this is a small reminder that you are not leading me today. I say, Holy Spirit, would you weld the door of my flesh shut? Would you take your door off its hinges and take total control of my mind, will, and emotion? I ask you to possess every cell of my being. And after I pray that, I say, and Holy Spirit, I trust you after asking you one time. Do you know why I say that? Because there was a time in my life where the Lord said to me, Carl, you have greater faith in the devil than you do in me. I said, what the flip are you talking about? I've been to Bible school. I've been a believer since I'm 17. I've been in ministry for 10 years. You're telling me I have greater faith than the enemy? He goes, yes. I says, how? He said, you believe that in the shower, if you said, Satan, I invite you to fill me and possess me and live your life through me today, you believe after one time of giving him permission, he would come and do it. He goes, but with me, you ask me, and then you doubt all day long. I said, you're right. After that day, every time I pray this prayer, I go, Holy Spirit, and I trust you after asking you one time. Can I ask you a question? Do you believe, if I ask the Holy Spirit to weld the door of my flesh shut, do you believe he does that? Yes, he does. I have never known more victory in my life until after I began praying that prayer. Do you believe if you ask the Holy Spirit to be in control of your mind, will, and emotion, to possess and do with you what he did with Jesus, that you will experience a life led by the Spirit on a daily basis in your thought, in your action? Let me just set you free. Perfect? No. But greater than? I just want you to know, as your pastor, there is not a day go by where this is not the beginning prayer of my life. And I am saying all of that not quickly, under a cold shower, reminding my flesh, you sucker, you are not controlling me today. I want to close with one verse. I've given it to you before. I'm going to ask you to memorize this verse. This verse became the core foundation of my life. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think, more than we could ask or imagine. With Paraclete with us, more than we can imagine. With God filling the glove of my life, more than we can imagine. With God recharging me with his power, more than I can imagine. With Holy Spirit being Lord over my, more than I can imagine. Can you imagine that? I want to say this carefully. We call ourselves Christian, right? What does Christian mean? Little Christ. To be a Christian means little Christ. No longer Jesus in the flesh going around from place to place, letting the power of God flow through him and touch lives. But because he left and Holy Spirit came, 12 men, little Christs. 100 believers, little Christs. 1,000 followers whose glove is full, little Christs. Can you imagine 1,000,000 believers walking on the earth in the power of the Spirit of God? Little Jesus is all around. Can you imagine? That's what God has empowered us to do. That's what the world is needing. That is what the captive is waiting for. That is why Jesus left. You will receive power. Some time ago, you've had this too. Some time ago, I had someone come up to me. It was only a couple weeks ago. We were talking, and they made a statement. They were raised in the church. They made a statement, and I was talking about a little bit of ministry, and they said, Christianity is so boring. You can't do anything you want to do. Just imagine the smell of the bone he threw me. I looked at him, and I said, I totally understand why you would say that. I said, I have no doubt the Christians that you have encountered in your world have left you going, if that's all you are, I want none of it. And I said, I agree with you 100%. But I said, can I tell you, that's not Christianity. They're not little Jesus. I said, when you see someone filled with the power of God, walking what Jesus did, writing their own book of Acts, is that what's supposed to be happening around you and me? There is a book of Acts that is supposed to be written, someone following you going, look at the power, look at. I told him, you find a Christian like that, boring will never come out of your mouth again. And I walked away. I went home and went to sleep. I let the Spirit of God use that one to chew in his life. But the truth is, how many Christian lives are absolutely powerless and absolutely boring? Boring. Boring. Imagine getting to heaven and looking at Jesus and saying, Jesus, I studied your life. Pretty boring. Can you imagine? But can you imagine getting to heaven and Jesus looking at you going, I studied your life. Pretty boring. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for my wife. I don't want that for my kids physically, and I don't want that for my kids spiritually. Can I tell you? You have received power. When the Spirit of God came on you, let me say it one more time. When Jesus walked in power, there was a reason why people flocked to him. When you walk in power, it's like light coming on in a dark place. How many of you experienced a power outage this week in Camrose? How many of you got that? Yeah. Do you know what that was, by the way? It's pretty cool. You know what it was? Yeah, some guy was pulling a big cultivator, and as he went, he hooked the power line, pulled the power line over, and pfft. And the people who sold it to him went, oh, I warned him about that. That was hilarious. But can you imagine? When power comes on and light comes on in a dark place, do people gravitate to that? You bet they do. When people who've been sick for years all of a sudden are healthy and they get up and they're dancing around, did people gravitate to that? You bet they do. When you get a little boy who's demonized, throwing himself in the water, in the fire, and all of a sudden he's free, are people drawn to it? You bet they are. nobody is drawn to lifeless. But the world is drawn to power. You have received power when Holy Spirit came on you. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Dana, can I have you come? Today, if you are here, and there has never been a time in your life where you have prayed to receive Christ into your life and to be filled with the Spirit of God, today is a good day for that. As I'm talking, you recognize that not only are you not walking in power, you're not walking with the Lord. And the Spirit of God is saying to you, I want that. I need that in my life. And so if that is you right now, I just invite you to pray with me. As an act of your will, would you say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and for rising again from the dead. I invite you now. Would you come into my life? I invite you to be my Lord and my Savior. I thank you for forgiving me of all of my sin. And I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your power. If you prayed that prayer, the Bible says you have been born again into the family of God. I want to say welcome. I'd love to hear from you. But this morning I'm speaking to the church. This morning I'm speaking to the chainsaw that has never made a noise. This morning I'm speaking to a drill that has never turned a screw. Today I'm speaking to those who have called themselves Christian their entire life, and yet have never stepped into the realm of being a little Christ. I want to tell you, as the Lord and I spend time together, and as I prepare and as He downloads into me, the Lord just continues to say, call. I'm preparing people's hearts. Call. I'm placing a hunger inside of people. Call. I'm stirring people up to be where they've never been before. Call. I'm giving people an appetite. Call. I'm changing. Call. I'm just deliver what I give you. I'm doing the work. Do you know how freeing that is? When the Lord says call, you don't have to convince anybody. That's my job. You don't have to make anybody hungry. That's my job. I know that Holy Spirit is speaking. He is moving. I'll be really honest with you. Jesus knew that when he spoke, there was a pile of that got it. There was a pile of them that totally missed it and nothing was changed. I know that to be true. That's true today. That's true here. That's true with those of you online. I know that's true. Can I tell you? That doesn't discourage me one bit. Because all Jesus looked for was 12. That 12 turned into 3,000. That 3,000 turned into 15,000. That 15,000 turned into a movement that has caused you and I to be here today. And today, the Spirit of God is raising up a people who are not walking in form. They are walking in power to do in this generation what no generation of believers has ever done before. You think COVID has power? It bows to the name of Jesus. Those with authority know how to speak and have things flee all around them. Those with authority know how to step into dark places and turn the light on. And God is preparing you. You know it. You're hearing it. You're experiencing it. You're hungering for it. God is putting in you an ache for the word that has not been there, an ache for prayer that has not been in there. Some of you are going to plug into the power socket tomorrow, and you're going to be, your battery is going to be filled like you have never stepped into this world before. Not one thing in your flesh would cause you to do that, but greater is He who is in you. When your glove lifts off the table and begins to do things it has never done before, I want to tell you, fasten your seatbelt. That is anything but boring. I was talking the other day with someone who said, isn't it amazing that God never forces us to do anything? Sometimes as a parent, I would love to. Can't. You pray, you invite, you encourage, but you can't choose for your kids. You can't. Neither does God. But today He is saying, if you let me, if you are willing, I will give you revelation of what I have already filled you with. And I will let it flow through you as a little Christ, the way it did through Jesus, the Christ. Right now, between you and God, would you just bow? Right now, between you and God. Would you just let your heart be known? You're good with status quo, just tell Him, God, I don't want to change. I'm just waiting on the cruise ship till you come back. Just tell Him. He knows anyway. But if you're at a point where you're going, God, change me. I want this. I'm tired of cardboard. I'm tired of cornflakes. I'm tired of being a glove on the table. I'm tired of being a chainsaw that makes no noise. I want to make noise. I want to make noise. Just tell Him. While your eyes are closed, and I'm going to ask you to keep them closed, the Spirit of God is just saying to me, there are some of you who are absolutely so bored with your Christian life. You have been going, there has got to be more. I need more. Some of you, that has been the ache. That is you, and Spirit of God is speaking to you and just planting an excitement. I just want you to raise your hand right now, just wherever you are. Just raise. All over this place. That's what the Lord said He's doing. That's what the Lord said He's doing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He left with 12. Count me in. Father, I thank You for speaking today. I thank You for preparing hearts and minds. I thank You that You are doing a work today. You're doing a work today. I thank You that You are bringing us to a place where we are experiencing You in our glove, doing things we never imagined possible through our life. God, we're anticipating. I thank You in advance. I thank You in advance for the ripples that are going to go out from every one of us in this place, the lives that will be touched and changed. I thank You for those who are going to hear the noise. They're going to be drawn by the noise. They came to that upper room. They heard the noise and they came and their lives were changed. Thank You for those who are already being prepared for the noise of a life filled with the power of God. And when they come, we'll introduce them to You. And they too will receive power when the Spirit of God comes on them. Father, would You not only seal what You've done today, but I ask as people walk out of this building, I ask that they would walk under the waterfall of gasoline that would cause the fire to burn even brighter, to burn even hotter. I pray today that what you are beginning in our lives will not walk out and be quenched, but Father, in this darkness will burn so brightly that those in our homes, those in our workplace, those in our communities would watch us burn for you. And that people would look at us and they would go, "That they've been with Jesus." As a child of God, I declare to you today what you already know. Your loving Father in heaven has blessed you, and he's keeping you. He has caused his beautiful face to shine on you, and he is being gracious to you. He is lifting up his countenance upon you and has filled you full of his peace and full of his power. I declare that in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Not one silent chainsaw. For the glory of his name. And everybody receiving said, amen. God bless you, church. Awesome to have you here. I'm clapping on the inside and the outside. Have an awesome week. You are a little Christ. Let him fill your glove and live like it. See you next Sunday, same time, 10 o'clock. Have a great week.